desire and interest in your prayers this morning. We look into the Word of God. The Lord had, beginning of the week, given me a couple of messages that I thought He would have me to bring today. And last night, the Lord began talking to me late last night and in the morning hours this morning. And the Lord did a U-turn on us, so I desire and interest in your prayers. The Lord's been talking to me about the living water of the Spirit. And there are times that we consider living water to be salvation, but according to the Scripture, I believe that living water is full salvation. And full salvation is the complete plan of God. It is forgiveness of sins, a work of justification, and then it is an experience that we find in its fullness with the infilling of the Spirit. And so I'd like us to consider the living water of the Spirit this morning. Now, in Kenya, as in many other countries, there are wells that are very shallow. And during the rainy season, there's water in the well. In other words, the rain's coming down, you can go to the well and you can get water out. But during the driest part of the year, when the rains stop, those wells dry up. And there are people that literally walk for many, many miles to get water, to wash their clothes. Water, they don't have the luxury of bathing, as we do, because water is a scarce resource. And the wells that are there are dried up, and so they have to walk to the mountains for miles to get water, or they have to pay a high price for it. At the orphanage, you know, we had a project a few years ago where there, with 100 children there, there's a need of water. All the wells in the community were drying up. And so we had someone come in and dig a well for them. But we didn't want just a shallow well because we knew that when things got dry, it was going to dry up as well. So you know what we had to do? We had to dig deep. We had to have a truck come in. It couldn't just be something we did by ourselves. See, that's the cheap way of doing it. I hear a lot of people saying in a lot of good charitable organizations say we can put in a well for so many hundred of dollars. That's great. But there are some places that you can't put in a deep water well for a few hundred dollars. You have to have a truck come in and do what we cannot do with our hands. They have to get that drill in there and go down to the water table. They have to go all the way down that where there are rivers of water flowing underneath all year long. We've never had that well dry up yet at the orphanage. It has provided water for not only those 100 orphans, but it has provided water for hundreds in the community when all the other wells were dried up in the area. With that in mind, I'd like to read a passage to you out of the 7th chapter of John. We'll begin reading with verse 37. He said here, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But let's not stop there. "But this spake he of the Spirit." See, now we're not concocting some new doctrine here this morning. He spake of the living water, he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus was speaking of why he came. Jesus came that the Holy Spirit might come. That's why Jesus came. He came to clean us up, to provide a clean vessel for the Holy Spirit to come in and take up his abode. And so Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We live in a society in a time where people are thirsty. If you've ever been real thirsty, there's a craving and there's a longing for something to satiate that need that I have. And people are turning to so many things because they're thirsty. They're turning to the things that are addictions in the world. They're turning to drugs. They're turning to alcohol. They're turning to the works of the flesh. And I'm going to go a step further. They're turning to religion. They're turning to organizations of man. They're turning to what I can do for myself. But you know, there's still a craving there. Those things never truly satisfy the depth of longing that we have in our spirits.
But Jesus said, if any man thirst, if you have a need and a desire for something more, He gave an invitation and He said, let him come unto me and drink. You know that when we come to the Lord and drink, we're not going to find a dried up well. Religions can dry up, folks. There are people that can dry up. There are things and resources that we can look to for help, and they dry up sometimes. But if we will look to the Lord when we're thirsty, when we're needy, He said, you can come to me and drink, and He'll satisfy us. How does He satisfy us? He said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. Now, how are we supposed to believe on the Lord? We're supposed to believe in Him and trust in Him as our Messiah, as our Savior, as our friend, as our Comforter, as the one that came to give the Holy Spirit. Because it's not enough for us to say, I believe in Christ. Because in the book of James, it says the devils believe and tremble. But the belief, as the Scripture says, is the belief that changes. It's a belief that spurs us to action. It's a belief that causes us to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe that you are the answer to my need. People that do not find the answer in Christ have not truly found Christ. People that are not finding, they say, well, you know, salvation, I really don't find it being what I needed. You haven't got the real thing. That's my response to that. Because when we really come to the Lord, and I don't want to just take a little sip of Christ this morning. I want to drink deeply. I want to drink everything that He has for me. But He said, if you're thirsty and come to me and drink, He said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now that phraseology sounds a little odd in our time. But here when it was written, that phrase out of the belly, it's speaking about out of the heart. It's speaking out of the spirit of man. From the depth of your spirit and the depth of your heart, there will come, He said, rivers of living water. As opposed to dead water, stagnant water. You know what the problem with stagnant water is? Again, going back to Africa. Stagnant water is a breeding ground for disease and contamination. You go to a shallow well and you have all of the waste. You have all of the contamination of the area. When it rains, it drains down into that well and contaminates those shallow wells. And if you drink of a shallow well, you can get typhoid, you can get cholera, you can get all of these diseases, and it can kill you. But if you drink of a deep well, water that is fresh, it's living, in other words, it's moving, it's bubbling, it's not stagnant, but it's dynamic, it's not static, but it's moving and it's fresh. And you drink of that, you're not going to get sick, but it's going to breed life and health in you. Jesus said, if you will believe in me, out of His belly or out of your heart, out of your spirit, is going to flow rivers of living water. But He spake this of the Spirit of God. And that's why we say the living water of the Spirit this morning, because I have found in my own experience, and I find it scripturally, the depth of the living water, that which makes my life fresh, in spite of the storms, in spite of whether it's the dry season or the rainy season, in spite of what everybody else's well is doing around about them, it has been the Spirit, the living water of the Spirit, that has brought life and brought health and brought joy in times that you would have despair. In times that you would be discouraged, there was courage. Why? Because I'm drinking of the living water of the Spirit. It's something I'm not going back and saying, well, I was saved 20 years ago and I know I'm supposed to be happy, so I guess I'm happy. But there is something alive and something fresh every single day that I find in the Spirit, because He's alive, He's moving, He's dynamic, He gives me something fresh for the day. That's what Jesus was speaking of. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, drink deeply of Him. Let Him move in your spirit and know that there's a place of refreshing. Out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water, but this He spake of the Spirit, I am thankful this morning that the Spirit is here. I am thankful that we have access to the Spirit. In the time of Jesus and even today in many lands, there are areas of vast desert. It's dry. There's no water and it does not breed life. It brings death. People that have gone out into the desert and lost their way and they don't know where the water is, they die. Because they need, water's a life source. Well, do you know that we live in a world that's like a desert? It's dry, it's barren out there, and we can get lost in the world and we can lose perspective and lose sight of where the water is. Folks, the water, the answer is still in Jesus Christ, in what He came to do in bringing us salvation and bringing us, paving the way for the Holy Spirit to come into our life. Over in the fourth chapter of John, very familiar passage, when Jesus spoke with the woman at the well, that Samaritan woman that day, and He told the woman there, He said, "Give me to drink." She was sitting there by the well. He said, "Give me to drink." And she kind of inquired about that. Well, maybe just begin reading a few verses here. He said, "Give me to drink," in verse 7. And the Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you're a Jew and you ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus said, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldst have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." If you would have only known, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't inquire, "Why are you asking me this?" But if you knew what I was really able to do for you, you would be asking, "Lord, would you give me some living water? Would you give me access to something that I have not experienced?" And they began to speak about this well, but in verse 13, Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," and I can just see Jesus pointing to the well, "whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." What did Jesus come to give us? Came to give us the Holy Spirit. Remember, John said, "I baptize you with water, but the one that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That's what Jesus came to do. Through His blood sacrifice, He forgave us and made us clean that the Holy Spirit might come. He said, "If you drink of the water, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Doesn't that sound refreshing? Fresh water. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives every single day. He wants to give us a fresh portion, renewing, encouraging. What was it in children's meeting, as I passed through, I heard him mention Paul and Silas. What was it that enabled Paul and Silas at midnight, when things seemed so bleak and dark, and you might give in a fleshly sense in despair? What was it that enabled them to sing praises to the Lord? What was it that enabled that? You think they were drinking of stagnant water there? It wasn't. It was something that was coming from deep down in their soul, and it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's living water, folks, because it goes down deep. Folks, this is why it's so important for us. If we want to make it all the way, we're going to have to get down deep to the water table. We're going to have to get down in our experience to where the Holy Spirit isn't just something, "Well, I know I prayed about it one time, but I know the Holy Spirit is in my life because of the evidence." Because there's that renewal, there's something living within me that enables me at midnight to sing praises. See? Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. How is that humanly possible? It's not. But it is when you drink of the living water of the Spirit. It enables us to respond and to do what we could not do in our own ability. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. I am thankful this morning for living waters. Isn't that what the Scripture means then when it said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and what? And joy in what? in the Holy Ghost. This is what the living waters is all about. Righteousness. That in the face of unrighteousness, we can still live godly. We can still, in the face of evil, in the face of hatred, in the face of the lust of the world, we can still live godly in this present evil world. It's not something I just read about that the pioneer ministers did 120 years ago when D.S. Warner lay on his bed and wrote the song, "Who Will Suffer with the Savior?" He'd just been beaten up by the crowd because of his stand for truth. But yet he would say, "Who will suffer with the Savior?" You know, you don't have to go back 120 years to find that kind of experience. That can be your experience this morning. That in the face of difficulty, in the face of opposition, you can live righteously. We don't have to stoop to the world's level, folks. But in the Spirit of the Lord, there's righteousness. And yes, there's peace. In the time of trouble, there's peace in the storm. There's a place of serenity that our responses are godly and righteous and of peace. Why? Not because of who I am or what I did 120 years ago, you know, or what we all did as a body 100 years ago, but it's because I'm drinking of living water that goes down to the bedrock of where Christ and the Spirit is in my life. And so Jesus said, if you're thirsty, just come and drink and you'll be satisfied. I'm satisfied this morning. I'm not satisfied with what the world's doing. I'm not satisfied with what everybody's doing in it, but I am satisfied in my life because of the Spirit of the Lord and what He does when I can't do it. And I'm at the end of my proverbial rope. There's a depth of righteousness and peace and joy that I draw from in the Holy Spirit. And that is what the Lord's looking for in everybody's lives, that we drink deeply and we dig deep till we hit the rock, that there's a difference in our lives. We don't respond like the world does. We don't give in to the things the world is pulling on because of the power of the Spirit in our life. Oh, there's living water in the Spirit, folks. Salvation is not a dead, dry experience this morning. Salvation is something that is alive and fresh and is renewing because of living water of the Spirit in our life. We could go on and on with examples in the New Testament of how people have responded and lived and conducted themselves in face of opposition. They were able to do it because they had drunk of the living water. You know, when you experience the living water of the Spirit, I have need of no other. It means when I go through the desert, there is a stream of water. Jesus said, out of your belly, or out of your heart, out of your spirit, there's going to be rivers of living water, a river, something that's free-flowing. That now you can go into the desert, and you know what you'll find? You'll find there's water. You'll find there is a river of peace. You'll find that there is a depth of joy and satisfaction because of the Spirit of God in the life. Let's turn and read in Isaiah. There's a passage of Scripture. It's a beautiful passage. I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the Word of God this morning. It may be some of these Scriptures are old, but you know what? They're not old. They've been around a long time, but they're not old. They're still alive. It still works. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Let's not stop with 3. Verse 2, he said, "Behold, God is my salvation." Where's our answer going to be? Where are we going to turn? He said, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, because of that, he said, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. And I'll just stop there. But do you know that we can still this morning, with joy, draw water out of the wells of salvation? Because, folks, it's still living water. It hasn't dried up. And if that's not your experience, you need to dig a little deeper. I want to encourage everyone, I would that everybody that has an experience of having been forgiven of their sin, that they not wait, but they dig down as long as it takes to get down to where they hit the rock to get this living stream of water of the Holy Spirit in the life. I've said it, I've said it every time we've been preaching on this series probably, but folks, this is what God's people need more than about anything else. You get the living water of the Spirit in your life, you can go through anything and maintain your integrity with God. You won't run away from the enemy. You won't give in to the devil, but you'll find that there's a place of joy and peace and righteousness because of that Spirit. There's another passage. Let's turn and read in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. He said that, well, all right, it's just too good. Let's begin with verse 5. He said, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together. You know what it means to quicken? It means to make alive. We were dead in sin, and He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now, that's like this is, don't forget. Wasn't what you did. It was by grace you're saved. And He hath raised us up together. You know the Lord doesn't want you to have to experience this by yourself. He wants us to enjoy the blessings of salvation of His Spirit together. That was God's plan for His church. It was His plan that we be united, not because our personalities are the same, not because our backgrounds are the same, but because we're drinking of the same water, the same life, the same Spirit, the same righteousness, the same peace. It brings about the same faith. And He's raised us up together, He said, to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you know this morning that we are still recipients of those exceeding riches of His grace? If you have the living water of the Spirit in your life this morning, you are rich. And I am so thankful, as with any other riches, if you find gold in the field, He's not talking about a pot of gold, all right? The man that found gold, a great treasure in the field, he went and sold everything he had and went and bought the field. If it would have just been a pot of gold, he could have just taken it with him. But he bought the field because he had to mine out the gold. The deeper you get, the richer it gets. In our experience in the Holy Spirit this morning, the deeper we dig, the more riches we're going to find. The greater, the more freshness, the more renewal, the greater righteousness because of the power of the Spirit in our life. And I would that we experience these great heavenly riches in their riches of grace. In your life practically, the living water of the Spirit will bestow a depth of grace that you will not find in any other way. It's not found in self-discipline by itself. Now, there's a measure of spiritual discipline we have to have. But it is not found in just biting my lip. It's not found in, well, I guess I won't because I can't. It's found because there's something deep down inside that is empowering. There's something deep down inside that I can't manufacture, but it's the living water of the Spirit. The riches of His grace. There's so much that could be said about the riches of His grace this morning. I encourage you to go do some mining this week. Allow the freshness, this living water of the Spirit to work. And this is the reason why I believe the prophet said over in Isaiah, in the 35th chapter, begin reading with verse 3. Isaiah chapter 35, in verse 3. He said, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. In other words, if you're feeling weak, you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling faint-hearted, He said, be strong. Don't be afraid. He said, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame man shall leap as a hart, or as a deer, as an antelope. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit came to do for our lives this morning. He came to be a stream in the desert. He came to those that are weak, to those that are faint, to those that are discouraged. He came to provide a source of water that runs deep, that is fresh, that gives grace and joy and peace even in the wilderness. And it said here, the desert, the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. Do you know what parched ground? I thought it was interesting. In the original language here, in the Hebrew and also in the Arabic, it said that word for parched ground was actually, the word is better defined as glowing sandy plain. You know what a glowing sandy plain is? It's a mirage. It's a mirage. You know when you're out in the desert, trust y'all probably seen it, or even driving down the highway in the interstate and it's really hot out and the heat's just radiating and you look up ahead and it looks like that there's a lake or a body of water up ahead. And it's just a mirage. There have been many people that have lost their lives seeking parched ground, shiny sandy plains, and they think, oh, there's something to drink, and they get off the beaten path going in search of water. But what the Scripture here, and there's a lot of people dying doing that in the world today, but what the Scripture said here, listen, He said, and the parched ground shall become a pool. In other words, that place that was just a mirage and it wasn't really there, He's saying, in the Spirit of the Lord, there's living waters, and I will make something alive where it's dead. And He said, in the thirsty land, springs of water. You know, this morning, probably many of you have, maybe some of you have been to the San Joaquin Valley in California. It is the, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't look this up, so I'm going off of memory. I thought it was the third largest vegetable fruit producing area in the world. I thought it was number three. I could be mistaken. Maybe it's number one. But it's at the top. That was a desert. It was desert. And then they brought water into that desert area, and it became one of the most fruitful places in the whole world. You know, the Lord can still do that with lives today. Those areas that are dry and in wilderness and desolate and dead, you allow the Holy Spirit in the life, and it can begin to bring forth fruit, and people can look on and say, wow. This is wonderful ground. You should have seen what it used to be. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. I'm so thankful for the living water of the Spirit. We won't take the time to read it, but in closing, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, in the 17th verse, there was an invitation given. He said, the Spirit, I think it was interesting, it was the Spirit again. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come and drink of the living water. This morning, I'm so thankful that there's that invitation that Jesus said, if you're thirsty, you can come and drink of me. And He was referencing what the Spirit of God came to do in our life. Living water of the Spirit. Amen.